are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here from Locked On Big 12 Podcast. On today's show, I speak with Scott Wright of the Oklahoma, and we talk all things Oklahoma State spring football. All right, joining me today on the Locked On Big 12 Podcast, it is Scott Wright of the Oklahoman, here to talk some Big 12 football, some Oklahoma State football. And Scott, this is Oklahoma State is one of the most interesting teams to me because I thought there was a legitimate conversation at the end of last season to have about Mike Gundy. And the reason why is because that was one of the best rosters he's had. And they came up short in a couple glaring moments last year, TCU, Texas, and Oklahoma being the three. And they did it in a variety of ways, I thought, too, which was the bad part. How do you reboot after kind of a season like that where you have that much talent and things don't go your way? It's still a successful season by general standards, but not kind of what they thought would happen. How do you reboot and reset after that?
Well, I think the big key was the need for Spencer Sanders to take the next step. And that's been a big focus this spring, is getting him, more acclimated to what is needed out of him in the passing game, and not just relying on his feet to make plays. So, you saw it a little bit in the game against Miami in the Cheez-It Bowl. They came out and threw the ball first 15 plays of that game, and he settled in really quick and was really solid in that game, turned out to be the game's MVP. So that's kind of where it starts for this team on offense. The defense is returning a lot of veterans, and they feel like they can be good over there again. So it was a disappointing season. Kind of felt snake bit from the start when Sanders got hurt early, and you need to go back to the offseason and the weird offseason that they had. So a lot of things about last year that felt like they were a little off. So now with this spring, the chance to get settled back in and kind of, like you said, reboot, I think has been important for them.
Yeah, it's interesting about where they kind of fit into this Big 12, because there is obviously Oklahoma and Iowa State, the two top dogs. And then you have, I think, in that second tier, you put Texas, and then you would put Oklahoma State right there as well. And Spencer Sanders to me is so interesting because a lot of the stuff he does pop off the screen when you watch. He does have the ability to sling it around. He does have really good athleticism. His decision-making is what I feel like has snake bit him a lot. And, the spring is a great time to work on stuff, but I feel like those experiences in the games are kind of what ultimately is going to shape that decision-making moving forward, right? Until you're in that fire and you're in that situation. So I think there's a good chance he turns the corner. I just don't know if this team, do you think they have the offensive weapons to kind of reach a higher level than they did last year, even though they're losing obviously Jenkins and then, Chuba Hubbard and then Tylan Wallace? Do you think they have a chance he can elevate them to maybe a higher level, or is it going to be difficult without those weapons?
It's going to be tough. It's definitely going to be tough. I think that they feel comfortable with what they've got at running back. Mm-hmm. Receiver, they're very unproven. The top returning receiver that they've got is Braden Johnson, who had 240 yards last year, has, right, 750 in his career. So, they're definitely unproven there, though they're really excited about what Brennan Presley did in the bowl game and what he can be in the future, and some other young guys that are coming on. Tay Martin is not a young guy, but he was a guy that played well in the bowl and in place of Tylan Wallace whenever he set out the second half. So they've got some guys that they think can be in those playmaker roles. You don't have the draft picks sitting there like you did last year, but you've got some talent that you can use. And you're right about Spencer Sanders. It comes down to decision making for him, and this is a guy who has missed out on a lot of crucial moments in development in his career. And
we'll let you guys know that today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for nearly 20 years. They have all the parts that you would need for your car or truck, and best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for pros and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. So note, we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So one big point last year was the offensive line. There's a lot of shuffling around, and they really weren't able to find a whole lot of consistency. I think the run game suffered some from that. A passing game definitely did a little bit too. How do you feel, even though they're losing Tevin Jenkins, do you feel like the line has grown up some? Because I feel like they're getting more experienced. Obviously, they have Springfield on the end, who's, you know, top-end type talent. How's offensive line coming along?
It's definitely developing. With guys being healthy, they're getting guys in the positions that they need to be in, where they're most comfortable. For instance, Josh Sills was a great left guard at the beginning of the season, and then injuries hit, and he was all of a sudden playing left tackle, and he's playing right tackle, and never really got settled in at those positions the way that he had as a left guard. He'd been a guard his entire career. He's really a lot more comfortable there, a lot more talented there. So he's back at left guard. The one question mark, they'd like to have one more tackle to come in, and they're hoping that Caleb Etienne can be that guy when the junior college transfer who comes in the summer, when he arrives, they're hoping that he can be that guy that that elevates them to the next level across the board. But they're really happy with the guys that they've got because they, like you said, they did get a lot of important experience, and it was kind of a trial by fire for some of those guys. But they came out the other side of it and played really well. So they also had Danny Godlewski transfer in from Miami of Ohio, who's a good veteran, experienced guy in the middle at center. Who has learned the offense really quickly, and they're really raving about what he's done this spring.
So at that wide receiver spot, we know you obviously can't replace a guy like Tylan Wallace, and then also you're losing somebody like Dylan Stoner as well. It's really difficult for them to do. Who are the guys that we're going to see this year try to take up that mantle at the wide receiver position?
I think it's going to be a collection of guys. I think you're going to see Braden Johnson doing some different things, maybe playing inside, playing outside, bouncing around. You're going to see Tay Martin, who I mentioned earlier. He's a guy that transferred from Washington State, came in mid-August, and didn't really have a lot of chance to get acclimated as late as he came in. So he's a guy that's in a lot better situation now than what he was. He's a guy, and then Brennan Presley is the guy that they're really the most excited about his potential. He came in as a true freshman, and didn't just pop off the screen at you early on, but as the season went on, they kept working and trying to get him more involved in the passing game, and he did a lot of things well. So. He's a guy as a small guy. He's only 5'8" and about 180 pounds, but he can do a lot of things. Really dangerous in the open field when he gets the ball, and has good hands and has the potential to be an inside receiver like they haven't had in a while. To go out and put up a bunch of catches and a bunch of yards.
What about a tight end? I felt like last year, especially the Iowa State game, I liked the way they used tight end in that game, Jelani Woods. I feel like also, too, that provides Spencer Sanders a safety blanket. What's that position looking like coming into 2021?
You know, the decision of Jelani Woods to transfer was a tough one because was a guy that they were getting more involved in the offense. He didn't have a ton of catches, but they really liked what he was doing. Obviously he was a big dude at 6'7" and 75. So he was a good weapon for them there. But with him gone, you've got Logan Carter, who is a former walk-on, who has just been a grinder his whole career, and has done what's necessary to make the plays. They've got Austin Girard coming in as a junior college transfer in the summer, and they're excited about what he could be. So they've got some guys. They just they need to find ways to keep those guys involved in the offense and keep using them as weapons.
Today's show is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. You guys know the deal. Football season is long gone, but right now we are in the heart of basketball season for the NBA and college hoops. NHL is in full swing, and here comes baseball as well. Also, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for a 50% deposit bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's turn to the defense. So I love this group that Jim Knowles has this year. A lot of guys returning last year. It's an experienced bunch. And I think they have an opportunity to cause a lot of problems this year. I think Oklahoma State was at their best last year when their defense was clicking. And got exposed in a couple games. That happens in this conference. You know, what's your confidence level on the defense? And, you know, I mean, I think cornerback's the one question position, but they seem pretty solid elsewhere. You can tell me if I'm wrong there, but it seems like they're pretty solid across the board.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, they lost really just three starters off of this group, and they've got veterans that are ready to step into those roles, experienced guys that are ready to play in all of those spots. You take, for instance, linebacker with Eamon Ogbonwamiga graduating and heading to the next level. Devin Harper is a guy who's been rotating in and getting good reps the last 3 years. So, that's a spot that they're not terribly concerned. And then they've got some young guys ready to back those guys up. Malcolm Rodriguez decided to stick around for an extra year, and that was a huge decision for them to get him back at linebacker. Safety, they feel incredibly comfortable with all three guys that they've got. Mm-hmm. All three of those guys are big time players, and in Colby Harbell, Peel, Trey Sterling, and Tanner McAllister. So, corner is the one question. Bernard Converse was solid, and will have to be even better this year. And then you got a battle going on at that other spot right now in spring. With Christian Holmes and Corey Black and Jabbar Muhammad trying to see who's going to come out and be the guy. I think you'll probably see a little bit of a committee there, at least early in the season, to find out who's ready to step in and really be the guy in that spot. Because losing Rodarius Williams, who had turned himself into a real lockdown corner, was a big loss. So. It's going to be tough to replace him. So that's going to be the one of the bigger questions, I think, as the season progresses.
You know, I love how their schedule sets up. I like the fact that they kind of ease into it with Missouri State, and then they play Tulsa as well before they go and they play at Boise State. And I just think with the construction, it really is not a stretch that's too terrible. The Texas – Iowa State back-to-back road games, that's difficult, but there's really no third game there. They've got a bye before those two games. They play Kansas after them. I think this is a pretty nice schedule in terms of the way it sets up. Like, there's no little murderer's row stretch that they have to face, maybe facing Oklahoma at home, but, you know, you have to go to Tech the week after and then play Texas wherever, you know, because I was actually talking to the TCU guy earlier today, and we're talking about that. We were saying, yeah, they have a really difficult stretch in the middle. I actually feel like the schedule kind of lays out nicely, kind of, you know, amps up as they go along. And look, Tulsa's a pretty good program. You know, they gave them a great game last year. And so I feel like that might be good prep before they go on the road for Boise State. And, you know, I like the way the schedule shakes out for them. I think they have an opportunity to kind of build as they kind of, you know, move up in ranks. And I think they do have a chance to be pretty successful this year. Do you like how the schedule lays out?
Yeah, I think the schedule is about as ideal as it could be with the teams that they've got. You know, like you said, there's no stretch where they're just going to be feeling like they're getting pounded. You know, week in and week out with big games, they get some breaks here and there at some ideal times. So I think it sets up about as well as it could for a team that you know needs that time early in the season to prepare and then can build from there.
What are your expectations for this team in 2021? Where do you think they finish in the Big 12 Conference? Do you think they're in that 3-4 range? Do you think they can make a push to be number two? I think it's going to be really hard to unseat those two top teams. They're just so experienced, and they're just, you know, whether Oklahoma, they've got experience and talent. And I mean, that Iowa State team is old as could be, and that's great to have in the college ranks. Do you think Oklahoma State's in that next tier down, and them in Texas with battling out for that three spot?
Yeah, that's where I see it. And then, you know, if you can find a way to pull an upset somewhere and get yourself into that championship game, you know, maybe you can pull that off, but it's going to be really tough, like you said. So, yeah, I see them being in that three battle there with Texas, and we'll see what kind of program Texas has with the coaching change and everything's going on down there. But you know, I think that's about where those teams are going to end up facing off at.
What's kind of the heat level on Mike Gundy right now? You know, what's kind of the expectations? What's expected of his team this year? You know, before, what do they have to do basically before fans start asking a lot of questions?
Well, fans are asking.
Which they should be. I feel like that's, they should be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a tough situation right now. You know, had some of the things that transpired last year occurred in a different year, a non-pandemic year, it could have been very different the way that things played out. But you know, the situation is there's definitely some warmth for Mike Gundy right now, I would say, and you know. I don't know what another, you know, third place finish does for him at this point.
Right.
It's kind of expected. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying that he has to go and challenge for those top two spots, but there's a lot of important people that would like to see them in that Big 12 title game. So that's it's a tough situation for him right now.
Right. I think there's a lot of people who kind of look at this and say, well, is the grass really greener, you know, if you parted ways with him, just the success. But if you do believe that you can get, you know, you could recreate that kind of talent they had last year on a consistent basis, and you feel like, you know, you find another coach who can do that and think somebody else gives you a better shot at pushing you over the edge, I think it might be worth a shot. I just, you watched the game against Texas last year, and they're just such a better team than Texas. And losing that game, you know, is just with the way they turned it over so much. I mean, they handed that victory away because Texas had five extra possessions and barely beat them. You know, TCU game, their offense was miserable. Oklahoma, they got the problem with that game I have is that this team could have competed, maybe not beat, probably not beat Oklahoma last year, but they could have competed and got their tails whipped out of the gate. And so the problem I have is, you know, if that's what's going to happen with your most talented groups, then you think you can get talented groups like this in their offense, which I think they can, then I think it might be time to start considering. I think there might be a little complacency setting in, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does, and it's definitely possible. It's hard to gauge, but it's definitely a possibility that there is a little bit of complacency. And you're right that whole is the grass greener on the other side question is a tough one to answer.
All right, we appreciate your time, Scott. Where can people find you and your work?
You can find me on Twitter at Scott Wright. Okay. I tweet out a lot of my links on there, and then every day on Oklahoman.com.
All right, Scott, we appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
All right. That was Scott Wright from the Oklahoman. Make sure you guys go follow us on Twitter at LO Big 12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. And until next time, my friends, please stay safe.